If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? When we say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Awesome. Welcome, everybody, to the Matrix Mindset Academy and Matrix Success Network podcast with the number one coach in the world, Brian Delmaso. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Craig. How you doing? Yeah, morning for you, and it's evening for us. So how is it over there in Indonesia?
Hot. Very hot. Excellent. It's beautiful weather over here, always is. We have two seasons, you have four. We have the wet season and the dry season. So it's not flooding at the moment, so that's a good thing. We thank God for good things, right?
Well, that's a bonus, sure, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so today we're going to talk about the trick to staying in charge no matter what. Incredibly important, incredibly powerful. So, Brian, I'm really looking forward to you sharing many of the things that you talk about with your coaching clients, you know, your corporate clients, the team that we have in the Matrix Mindset Academy, and your Thinking Into Result clients. I've personally benefited from going through this particular topic with you, getting my mindset right, getting these incredible mental tools as part of my toolkit to help me move forward. So, Brian, how about you introduce this idea to us, particularly around the concept of living from the inside out versus the outside in?
Oh, that's funny. I literally just wrote that down. And that's really the gist of what we're talking about. When we talk about the trick to staying in charge no matter what's going on, what we're talking about is our environmental stimuluses. Most people, including myself, we're born into society, right, as little babies, and we're programmed to live from the outside in. What that means, Craig, is it means that we're in a reactive state. Whatever's going on outside of us causes us to physically take action, whatever that is. And since we're born into that state and we're not really taught this stuff, we can go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years all the way through into retirement beyond, never really understanding that it's important to live from the inside out. And what that means is you can actually control your environment. And I mean literally, it's not a figurative thing. You can control everything about your environment, your body, your mental health, your physical health, the house you live in. That's all things you can control about your outside environment. Your nest, so to speak, you know. So when we talk about staying in charge no matter what's happening, that means whether there's an economic collapse, right? There was more millionaires and billionaires created from the Great Depression in the United States than any other era in history. So that proves my concept. Most people saw depression and horror and economic collapse, but certain people that understood these principles that we teach, they know that there's a law of polarity, there's a law of opposites, that with every bad, there must be a good, there has to be by law. So that they're trained to look for it. So, okay, if there's economic collapse over here, what's the opportunity over here? So that's really the gist about what we're talking about when we're living from the inside out. We're not letting our environment, our coworkers, maybe even our spouse, geographically where we are, we're not letting those external environmental stimuluses control our internal thinking and therefore our results.
Yeah, that's powerful. People are often controlled by results. We think that what's going on, for example, our income is tied to our company or our job that we have, when in fact it comes through our company or through the job or through the business that we have, and there are actually no limits on that. That's probably an example we can work with, Brian. Have you seen that in the people that you're working with, that you're coaching with at the moment? And what are some particular things where you have to focus on to get this shift? Where are the particular areas of need?
Yeah, we see it up with every client, quite honestly, no matter what level. And we have clients that come to us already worth millions. I mean, it's wealth is not just money. It's actually a very small piece of it. So you can be very, very stuck and be independently wealthy. So we're really working with the principles and showing people, it's a very simple concept. Most people start their day by looking at the results, right? They look at their bank account, their health, where they live, their relationships, all their current results. And they use those results to dictate their thinking, their present day thinking. And then that thinking causes the feelings. Now, feelings are nothing more than the conscious awareness of the vibration you're in. I'm going to say that again. So when we say we feel sad, what you're saying is I'm consciously aware that I'm in a low vibration. Or if you feel excited, What you're saying is I'm consciously aware that I'm in a high vibration. And this goes in accordance with the law of vibration, one of the primary laws of the universe. So if we're using our results to cause our thinking for the day, it's going to cause the feelings, which are going to be the same old vanilla feelings. Call it the Groundhog Day effect, right? Same old feelings from the same old thinking. Well, those feelings are what, that vibration is what puts your body in motion, right? It's the subconscious to the body. It's the vibration that moves the body. If we're feeling sad, that's depression. It equals usually procrastination. If we're feeling excited, it's exhilaration. It usually puts the body in motion. So all of this is a mind-body connection thing. And if we're following that circle around from current results, the current thinking, the current feelings, it's going to produce the same old actions, right? Because feelings produce actions. So this becomes what we call a self-fulfilling doom cycle, because we're looking at our results to cause our thinking. So Craig, what we teach, and this is really simple, this is how the 1% thinks. The way we think is we start with the new thinking. We turn 90 degrees out of phase, and we start every day with, what do I want? What is the new thinking? We start with thoughts. We start with the tip of the sword, which is energy, right? We take the no thing and bring it into the something by thinking about, in my case, you know, my billion-dollar software company. Like that's a dream. It's an image. But I don't look at my bank account, my current bank account, to dictate my thinking about, like I said, a multi-billion-dollar software company. Does that make sense? So that's really the key difference here. If we can just get people to understand, your results are completely irrelevant, right? Steve Jobs started with $750 in a garage with Steve Wozniak. He couldn't look at his bank account to dictate the largest corporation in the world. He had to. It's a visionary, right? That's what they're doing. They're using their thinking to cause their feelings, right? The new feelings, which causes new actions, which causes new results. And that's really the gist of what we're talking about here today.
Mm. And you often talk about things are created twice.
Mm. Yes, it's a very good point. Everything in this universe is created twice. Once in energy or once in spirit or thought, whatever you want to call it, it starts as nothing. And I give a really good example. I won't go through the whole thing, but if anybody here has ever built a house, at one point that started as invisible and tangible thought energy. And you would have had to translate that to an architect or to somebody, and they would have built a set of plans. They would have given the plans to the framer and the roofer and the sider, right? And then the physical form of the thing takes place. So there's a perpetual transmutation of energy that starts with thoughts. It's no different than the being that created the universe from the no thing to the something, or creating a house, or the iPhone, or a family. That's a transmutation of energy. Everything starts once as thought energy, and secondarily in the physical form.
Well, let's jump into the six higher faculties that you teach and go through them one by one. And let's get really clear with them, because I think they're very, very powerful. And when we use them as tools, as strategies, we can really unlock, you know, moving to a new level in any area, whether it's a creative endeavor, whether it's an athlete who's wishing to go to a new level, whether it's someone in a business or a relationship. These are really, really powerful. So I'll just name them 1 to 6 now, and then we'll go through them one by one with you, Brian. So we've got perception, we've got will, we've got imagination, we have memory, we have reason, and intuition. So perception, will, imagination, memory, reason, and intuition. So how about you lead us off with perception? And talk about someone who's living without perception versus someone who does, so we can see the clarity on that.
Well, there's really no such thing as living with it or without it. Your perception is your perception. It's a subconscious faculty. Mm-hmm. But the deal is most people are perceiving what they don't want. And this combines with what I was just saying. If your perception, when you look at the world, if you see nothing but horror, lack, fear, doubt, debt, foreclosure, if that's what you see, then that's what you bring about. You transmit that energy to and through you to continue to propagate that exact same thing. So you can't turn perception off. It's just how you view things. And a perfect example of perception, again, is the Great Depression. Some people perceive that because of what they saw as evidence that it was an economic collapse, while other people looked at the exact same situation and saw opportunity at the highest levels. Mm. So I can't think of a better case of perception than the Great Depression. Why did very select few people see things one way and the masses saw it another way? And the key here, Craig, is because they weren't seeing with their eyes, right? They were seeing with their intuition and their perception, which is a subconscious faculty. It's something we can strengthen. You know, anytime something bad happens in your life, you can teach yourself to understand that there's a law of polarity and there must be an equal and opposite good. We see this all the time, even things as horrible as the Boston bombing we had, where that one gentleman lost his legs. He transmuted his life to dedicate it towards helping people that have gone through the same things and being a public speaker and a figure. And he's much more impactful now, having gone through that horrific tragedy, than he ever would have been in his previous life. Does that make sense on perception?
Yeah, that's really good. So it's always on, and it's how we perceive things that's important. But you also said it's linked to intuition, which is our number six. Why don't we jump down to intuition as well, since it's so linked?
Sure. Again, everybody has an intuition. This is not, some people call it the sixth sense. A lot of people think it's smoke and mirrors. Intuition is a subconscious faculty that's always serving you. Some people also call it the gut feeling. That's exactly what it is. Now, most people have a very, very weak intuition.
Right.
A lot of other people don't know when their intuition is talking to them. Right. Your intuition is that very first, within 5 seconds, the answer you get about anything. I should do that or I shouldn't do it. This happens a lot in business. You'll hear a business idea, and right out of the gate, it's like, wow, that sounds good. But then 5 seconds later, our paradigm kicks in and starts to talk us out of it. What about the last time you tried something like that? Well, not many people succeed at restaurants. Most realtors fail. That's a paradigm kicking in, overruling your intuition. Now, people like Henry Ford, they develop their intuition. They listen to it. And 9 times out of 10, if you can tap into that and just listen to it, and really neutralize your paradigm and neutralize your fear, because a lot of times your intuition is for growth and it's going to want to cause you to do things towards growth, which is not going to feel comfortable. We can strengthen that intuition. Another way for intuition, if you've ever had this happen, is have you ever been thinking about somebody, all of a sudden, boom, the phone rings and there they are?
Absolutely.
In order to strengthen intuition, ask that person, say, listen, I was just thinking of you. Did you get that same feeling? That's intuition. Intuition is an energy. It's a frequency. It travels on our thoughts. It travels like the speed of light. So you can have an intuition all the way around the world and be on the same frequency as somebody, and that's the intuitive factor.
Yeah. I find that I'm often prompted to ring someone or ask someone a particular question. I'm regularly walking around or thinking or praying, you know, how can I be of use? And I'm open to that opportunity, you know. So I'm looking for that. I love that idea. So imagination, we talked about that before, about things are created twice. So we think about things and create them in our mind first, and then we physically create them. Imagination is one of these six higher faculties. So how can we develop this imagination, and what is it like?
Sure. Well, let's get real deep with the imagination. So your imagination is when you take energy with your brain and move nothing into motion. Think about that one for a little bit. You're using the organ of your mind. You're putting energy out, electronic impulses out into the universe, tapping into the infinite and putting nothing into motion. Now, most people don't continue that perpetual transmutation of energy into, say, the Hoover Dam or the Apple iPhone or people like Elon Musk putting rockets on Mars, right? Most people don't continue the flow because their paradigm kicks in. So they'll imagine themselves starting a company, but it dies because the paradigm instantly kicks in and says, well, you have a pretty good job. Like when I was working at General Electric, right? It was an invisible prison. You have a pretty good job. You don't want to throw away your pension. What's your wife going to think? What's your brother going to think? Most people, right? That's the paradigm. That's the negative thing that kicks in and stops us. But your imagination is the tip of the sword to creation. Everything has to be imagined by somebody at some point before it can ever exist in the real world. So every building you're in, every vehicle you drive, every pen that you pick up, every single thing you touch in your life started with somebody's imagination. And Napoleon Hill said that the imagination is the strongest force known to man. Right? And it literally is, because without imagination, we literally have no creation. So everybody has an imagination. Now what happens is we're born with a vivid imagination, but then we get put into the school system and sit down, look straight, stop daydreaming, 1 + 1 = 2, A, B, C, D, right? The imagination literally gets programmed out of us. It gets subdued. And it's only the rare case that somebody holds on to their imagination. They're usually deemed an unruly child, or they have ADHD or something. They usually get some sort of a label. And then we only find out later on that, like, Richard Branson had ADHD. you'll find that a lot of brilliant people had, you know, get diagnosed with something that the system put on them because they didn't conform. But really, is what it is a very hyperactive imagination, very strong superpower that they have, you know. So everybody has one. Everybody can grow it. There's a ton of study on this. We teach this all the time. But here's the deal. If you can think it, you can create it. And the other part of that is whether you believe you can or whether you believe you cannot, you are correct.
Nice. I love what you said about imagination being the tip of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I would really encourage everyone listening to this to follow you on Facebook and to follow the Matrix Success Network as well, because I think in the last week you actually posted that. Maybe Madison posted that as well. That's a great quote.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, there's no such thing as a building without somebody imagining. It's physically impossible to have a building just pop out of thin air, right? Mm. The imagination is literally the tip of the sword of creation towards a perpetual transmutation of energy.
So you just described for us how we think, oh, last time I might have failed or last time it didn't work out. So I would imagine that memory, which is one of our six higher faculties, memory is very, very important. So how do we create a powerful and productive and profitable memory?
Sure. I mean, memory is probably one of my weakest areas. It's not something I've spent a ton of time on. And you can develop it. I mean, you can develop your memory. You can learn 8 languages. You can memorize the Bible. Most people don't understand that or believe that, but the fact is that we're born with the equipment. Unless you have physical brain damage, everybody has a memory that can be strengthened. And there's actually a lot of books on that. Napoleon Hill wrote one. There's a ton of them. You can just Google how to strengthen your memory. It's not something I've spent a ton of time in, but the memory is pretty straightforward. It's just your data storage center, right? How your ability to access information. Now, my understanding is you can actually develop your memory. Every single thing that's ever happened in your life since birth, you can recall. Now, because we don't exercise the memory, we don't train the memory, I can't do that. Most people are not able to do that. But I've met people that spend considerable time building, exercising their memory, just like their muscles. It's no different. And they can tap into things right from, you know, almost from birth, and they remember everything. They have eidetic memories. So that's something that can be strengthened as well.
I think it would be very powerful for people, particularly who have had a negative upbringing or traumatic experiences, that they learn to filter memories and reframe them or frame them in such a way, like you said about the gentleman from the bombing who lost his legs but then became an athlete, you know, and turned that situation around to something positive, reframing those memories of being a seed of something fantastic or something positive or something growth orientated that came out of that. Particularly important, I think, for people who have been through traumatic childhoods, mm-hmm. I would imagine, to see that as an opportunity to help someone else, or to also frame it as something that's not a limiting factor going forward, developing this growth mindset with their memories rather than a fixed mindset.
No, absolutely. And I don't mean to be insensitive, but the reality there is no matter what happened in the past is the past. And I've done a couple of talks on the two thieves, right? The two thieves are the past and the future. And people spend so much thought energy in a non-productive manner, especially in the past. I mean, whatever is in the past, you literally can't change it. You can't reconstruct it. Most of the times, we're not even recalling it exactly how it happened. That's the funny part. We start to lose and distort and magnify and amplify. We start to change all of that in our data banks. So the past is irrelevant, and there's enough examples. And I would suggest that if anybody has had any kind of a traumatic upbringing or experience, to get the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, because Viktor was a Viennese psychiatrist, and he was well-versed in the principles that we teach here. So he was a Holocaust survivor, and everybody he knew, his entire family, everybody went through that experience, and everybody died except for him. I mean, every friend he had, all of his family, tortured, frozen, shot, beaten. I mean, the Holocaust is, at least in my awareness, one of the worst things in history to ever happen. So I don't think things get too much worse than that. And he was able to go through 4 years as a prisoner through the Holocaust, but he maintained that the dimension of his mind. He said, nobody can take hope from you. I don't care what they do to you physically. Nobody can steal your hope. And he actually used his perception of what was going on around him in his environment, and he stayed in control, and he did not let his environment control his thinking. And he woke up every single morning with hope, prosperity, faith, abundance, and thankful for his experience. Think about that one. So we're, now we're using all of the deeper subconscious faculties. Perception, number one, right? How do you hold it together when there's just utter horror 24/7, 365 around you? So if anybody, I have not personally had any, you know, seriously traumatic childhood incidents or anything like that. So I can't speak personally. I didn't serve, in the military, so I don't have experience with PTSD. But I do know this: we are not born depressed. We're not born with PTSD, right? And all of these things, they get programmed in over time by our environmental experiences. So I do know this: anything that can be programmed in can be programmed out. But again, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're correct. So this is why people that have, they're diagnosed with serious PTSD, if they don't believe they can unwire that and completely remove it, then they won't. It's that simple. Yeah. But if they stay neutral and they just believe that it's possible, then we can actually help them do that. If it can be programmed in, it can be programmed out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So that's a really good book, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, that explains if somebody has gone through something traumatic and maybe how to, coupled with what we're doing here, maybe how to get out of it.
Mm. Hey, so Brian, we've gone through perception, which is always on, imagination, thinking with a growth mindset, it's at the tip of the sword. Mm-hmm. Memory, we can remember everything and access everything, where you need to reframe that for growth. Intuition, developing that gut feeling. Let's have a look at reason now. Mm. And is there a strategy to develop this powerful tool of reason?
Yeah, your reasoning faculty is kind of how we process information. I mean, it's combined with perception, because perception is how you view what's going on around you. I'll give you a good example. Let's say you and I were in New York City and there was a horrific car crash and everybody died in the crash. You might look at it and say, "Oh my God, that's horrible." And I might look at it and say, "Oh my God, it's beautiful," because I think I have a fair understanding of what happens next. And people move on to a higher existence, a higher plane. Excuse me. energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So we move into our bodies when we're born, and we move out when we're done. So that same thing would be a perception. Now, the reason, or our reasoning faculty, is our ability to take information and deduct how we want to internalize it or use it to enhance our life. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. When there's a set of outside circumstances, how do we take that information in and either look for the good or turn it into a positive? If you own your own company, we're doing this all the time. You're using your reasoning faculty to lead other people in management. Mm-hmm. So that faculty is a very strong one. It can also be developed through study. Again, courses like ours or others. And reason kind of ties into everything else as well, but it's how I'd say it's how we process information.
Yeah, you encouraged me to read a book, 15 Keys of Success, by Napoleon Hill. And that was really powerful, looking at this reasoning and developing my reasoning and seeing, getting feedback from other people and judging the information that was coming in from them or from the environment and judging, is it true or is it not? So the truth or the falseness of what they were saying and the validity of who they are, because everyone has an opinion, but is it truth? And then if it's true, is it helpful and beneficial, or is it going to turn me in a negative direction? So these stages of processing the information through reasoning to see, is it going to help me move forward? And that beautiful idea of time hides the secrets of success and failure, and it only becomes defeat if we choose not to move on. So finding those failures in the past and using that power of reasoning to identify the facts and the opportunities for growth today, so that as I move forward and I don't stay in that place, I transition to the next stage, I can use that learning by identifying the facts, the positive things, the positive changes in myself to move forward and be successful. And that way I avoid defeat, actually. I turn that into success because I don't stay there. That was a really powerful book, I think, that you recommended I have a look at some time ago. That was good.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. And you hit a good point. And people that really get on in life and get to higher levels of achievement, they really fall in love with failure. I look at what most people call failure, I call learning. Right, and we need to learn. If we understand the mind-body connection, human beings are success mechanisms. We're literally built to succeed if we understand this stuff. So what we should do is eliminate the word failure and just call it learning, because anytime we're studying something new, we don't learn by putting information in the conscious mind. We learn by studying something and then physically trying it. It's the only way to learn, and then getting the feedback, right? So there's no failure is only when you quit something, like you just said, but everything else is just feedback. And sometimes we take a monetary hit or there's a loss of some kind, but you're just paying for information. It's no different than going to college, right? Mm-hmm. We don't think anything about spending $100,000 in 4 years of our life learning to be an engineer before we ever make money. But entrepreneurs, you know, we might take a $20,000 hit in business, and if people don't process that information right, they won't realize that there's a lesson we're learning. It's the school of life, right? So we're always paying for information one way or another, and there is no failure unless you just give up on something. So that is a really good book and a great example.
I remember watching that program ER some time ago, and often I had a friend who was going through medical school, and he would say, "That's not true," or "Yeah, that's actually true," and identify these things in the program. And one of the things that they did was they had an M&M session. And I believe this is true. What surgeons actually do, particularly after someone dies or a surgery goes wrong, they have an M&M session. So they sit around and they have the big bowl of M&Ms, and it's never recorded for disciplinary procedures. It's always recorded for an opportunity to learn. Mm. So it's one of those fail forward events where they talk honestly and go through the procedure step by step, from the nurses to the orderlies to the surgeons, and identify every single step in the process to see where they can learn to make sure that that death or that catastrophic event in the surgery doesn't happen again. And I think if we had that mindset like a surgeon, where we diagnose everything that we've been through to identify where we can correct behaviors, correct thinking to get a different outcome, I think that would be very, very powerful for us.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of, I was just writing down plan, do, review, right? We learn, plan, right, do, review. And then when you review it, you change, and then learn, plan, do, review. So there's that cycle of constantly getting better and constantly improving our results. And that example you gave is actually a great example of perception. Again, right, because most people will be like, you know, oh my God, it's horrible that person passed away. But the doctors are looking at it as a learning experience, because they might be looking at somebody that they can learn something and then save thousands of people based on what they learned. Yeah, great example.
Hey, so Brian, I've saved what I think is a really important one for the last of our six higher faculties, which is will. Mm. Will. Let's talk about will and the necessity of will.
Sure. The willpower is another subconscious faculty that can be strengthened like anything else. And there's books on this. There's techniques on it. If you see somebody meditating, that's a good example of willpower. Calming the mind and focusing on your breathing is not as easy as it sounds, because most people have a million other thoughts that come in. But when you see somebody meditating, they're actually exercising and strengthening their willpower. Now, the willpower, most people have an idea that it takes willpower to do things that you don't necessarily like to do in order to achieve, right? It's part of that sacrifice equation. So the willpower is something that I think everybody at least is somewhat familiar about, but I don't think they know you can strengthen it by doing certain things. And there's a million different ways you can strengthen the will. But the willpower goes hand in hand with creation. And it usually goes hand in hand with sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not a bad term, but we deem it as a bad term. Most people, when you say sacrifice, they go, ooh, right? They think loss. That's not what sacrifice means at all. Sacrifice is trading. Sacrifice is always trading something of a lower value for something of a higher value.
Right.
Right. If you want to live in a physically fit body, you might have to sacrifice and not eat Dunkin' Donuts every day, right? But the reward is living in a clean body. Or if you want to, you know, build a seven-figure income or multiple seven-figure businesses, you might have to sacrifice some time in the early days to do things that most people do not like doing for a short period of time in order to live life like most people don't get to live. So that's where the willpower kicks in. So willpower kind of attaches to desire. Desire, I think, fosters willpower. When you desire something, well, how bad do you desire it? The more you desire it, the more will you have to do the necessary things on a day-to-day basis to achieve, what it is we're trying to do. And again, that's another thing we teach in the Matrix Mindset Academy. We focus a lot on, well, actually all these principles.
Yeah, we do focus on goal setting and mm-hmm. getting up in the morning and going through our goals and seeing those type C goals, those big goals that we don't know how we're going to get there. They're really challenging. We can't do it with the resources we have, but it's we're creating it in our mind before it appears physically and we can create it physically. But the way to achieve that and breaking that down into smaller action items, process items, because for me to go way beyond in terms of my income or physical health or relationships or career, the big goal is there, but how do I get there? If I keep focusing on that but not putting the daily action processes in place, I don't get there. I found my will, my determination, my ability, my stick-to-itness has developed as I put those process steps in place, because I can handle a task today. I can handle a process step right. today. The big goal is big, but if I do what I have to do today, I will get what I want to have in the future by focusing on the process, because it's achievable. It's those bite-sized things. I remember us walking through that in a session one day.
Yeah, what you're really talking about there is the difference between goals and systems. Mm. We talk about a C-type goal. That's where you set a goal that you have absolutely no idea how to achieve. My software company is a good example. I'm not a software engineer. I don't really know much about software at all. But I still set a goal of creating a you know multi-billion dollar software company a couple of years ago. And if I was focused on the how, I never would have got out of the blocks. I mean, I have no idea. If I knew how, I already would have created it. And that's what I'll say to the people listening now. Whatever that big, big goal is, if you knew how, you already would have done it. So you got to fall in love with the fact that you're never going to know how. Steve Jobs says that. You can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect them going backwards once you achieve something and look back. So if we understand that, if we understand that about ourselves, that you're never going to know the how, it's the learning process, we just need to set a goal of what we want and then take small daily actions in a repetitive manner, which would be the system, right? So a goal is the thing that's out there that drives us, that we fall in love with. But the system is the day-to-day like you're talking about. And I train a lot of network marketers. So a system in network marketing is you know reaching out for customers every day, reaching out to show the business every day, a little bit of study inside the industry, promotions, and attending events. It's like a five-part system. So anybody in any network marketing company ever, if they do those five things every day and in a spirit of a high vibration, they are guaranteed to be successful. Guaranteed. If they follow the system, they'll hit the goal. But if they're thinking about the goal, they're going to wake up the next day and keep wondering how, and it's going to kink their energy. It's going to break the transmutation of energy, which is a physical principle. And the whole thing falls to hell in a handbasket, right? And this is what's going on in most people's lives. Right. They don't understand these universal principles, so they're not in harmony with them. Right. What you're doing when you surrender to the day-to-day tasks is you're getting in harmony with the perpetual law of transmutation of energy. You're getting in harmony with the laws of creation. That day-to-day task building towards the big thing is guaranteed to work over time. So that's a really good example.
Brian, this has been really powerful. Let me run through those six again for people. Perception, will, imagination, memory, reason, and intuition. And that I've found this, I mean, I get the opportunity, the privilege to talk to you regularly, but I've been making notes as we've been talking. I've got a lot out of this myself. My learning has gone to a new level from this. So Brian, let's make sure that people can understand how to engage with you on a deeper level and get more regularly in contact with you. What are the opportunities for people to connect with you?
Sure. I mean, there's several ways to find us. Obviously, the Matrix Success Network is our company and our website. But we also have the entry-level mentorship and coaching that we do that we call the Matrix Mindset Academy, which is tagline, no one gets left behind, right? And we have a free 30-day trial on that. If somebody texts MMA, which is Matrix Mindset Academy, if you text MMA to 484848, then you'll get a landing page. It's a free 30-day trial. And somebody can check us out for 30 days and see if it resonates. So those are really the two biggest ways. We have a YouTube channel, Matrix Success Network YouTube, a ton of free content. We're always putting out free content where people can, you know, just get to know us and see if it resonates. And if they do, they can jump in and, you know, we can work together at a higher level.
Fantastic. I'll put the link to that 30-day free trial with the show notes with the podcast. Okay. And we can get Madison to do that as well with the YouTube channel. Make sure we've got the link to the 30-day free trial. Really encourage people to get into that. I'm part of that as well. I love every single day being able to get insight, get wisdom, and particularly important for me because I'm in Indonesia. away from you physically, is that I get to be part of a community where I can share challenges and wins and struggles and success, and hear that from other people and have this community of people who are willing to support and encourage and help me move forward as well. I think that's really powerful.
Oh yeah, it's been amazing. And honestly, this really came from the impression of increase. We came up with this idea several months ago. It's like, well, how do we, you know, it's one thing to coach people, you know, that are CEOs and entrepreneurs and you know, high ticket coaching. It's another thing to come up with something for the masses that anybody can afford. Like, I think it's 67 cents a day or something like that. So this is really getting in harmony, like I'm talking about, with the impression of increase. You know, this is where you do something to give out without expecting a return. And it's been amazing. We've had so many wins, success stories, just really, 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 really awesome to kind of watch and to see the community come together, like you're saying, you know.
Fantastic. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. This has been powerful, and I really encourage people who are listening to check out the link in the show notes and jump into the Matrix Mindset Academy. Have an awesome evening.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Be well, and God bless.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want?
We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.